Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, do you know where I am right now?
Oh, I mean, according to your background, it just looks like you're in your house with... Whenever we record from Chris's house via his computer and the microphone and internet system, we always find ourselves in front of a shelving unit with a lot of very expensive camera lenses and drone equipment and stuff.
Indeed.
So I presume you're just there.
I've spent so much money on those fucking camera lenses. People have to have a hobby. I didn't have a hobby. Mine was camera lenses. But to the untrained face, it looks like my old studio. But I am, in fact, in a new office studio. Whoa. In a brand new apartment in Tokyo, the world's biggest city. I've done it. I finally moved here after 11 years of people going, oh, you live in Japan. You must be in, is it Tokyo? And me going, no, I'm in Sendai. And them going, oh, what's Sendai? I don't know what that is. Now I can finally go, yes, Tokyo, that's where I am.
Yes.
And the conversation can finish and it can be over a lot quicker. But I'm finally in Tokyo. It's done.
Congratulations. Did anything break, smash, set on fire during the move? Because obviously, if you've ever watched any video about moving house in Japan, the first thing people tell you about is those kind of very hardworking, very careful, very crafty house movers who wrap all your stuff in really lovely bits of cardboard and move for you effectively. Did you use one of those companies to move?
Yeah, we did. Last time we moved... when the move happened to Sendai, last time I used them, and Sharla, like, got a sponsorship from them, right?
Ah.
And it meant that it was all done for free, which is amazing. And they went the extra mile and made a real special effort. They, like, brought in like twice as many people as they normally would. And like, I don't know if this service exists outside of Japan or in the UK, but I don't even know what the name of the company is, but all the boxes have 123 written on them. So maybe it's something 123.
One, two, three.
They come in with a team of people and they take photos of every room. And then you sort of say, oh, I want my bookshelf in my new apartment. I want it in that room and I want it in this way. And I want the computer like that. And so it's trippy. Like you go from one apartment to the next and you basically just walk into your new apartment and it's all done, all ready to go without you needing to unbox anything.
That's amazing. And
the first time we did it, it is like really trippy. Like I remember going in, my bookshelf was all set up. All the books are in the exact same place, all the DVDs, everything. Everything is where it was when it was like before it was stuffed in a box and shipped 100 kilometers across the country. And they're so meticulous. But the first time they had like an army, because it was being filmed, they like sent everyone. And they like went the extra. And this time the unboxing team were a little bit like, we'll just stick that there.
Just sort of tossed it. And they didn't re-alphabetize your DVD collection or Blu-ray collection. Fuming.
They're a little bit sloppy. They had these like just girls turn up. They looked like schoolgirls. These three girls who looked like they were 17 or 18. And they were like, see us in. Where's the kitchen stuff go? And I was like, put it over there. And they were like, oh, okay. But the first time, it was just amazing. This time was a little bit less good. But they did move it all for us. And it's magic.
Yeah.
And when you've got like two cats, you really need that because it's fucking stressful. I hate moving so much. It's like my least favorite thing. And when you've got two cats that are maniacs, particularly one of them, he likes to tear and smash things up. It's just not fun. But we're done. The move's done in Tokyo now. Just trying to get acquainted with the area I live in. And it's kind of cool. I can actually see my friends and meet people for the first time ever.
That's cool. So are the facilities and access to Famichiki the same as where you were in Sendai? Is everything kind of pretty much the same as what you left? Like kind of you can go out and have a udon box 24/7 to here, just as you could in Sendai.
Well, before, because Sendai is like just a decent-sized city, but it's all central. Like, you could get to things a lot quicker, whereas Tokyo, it's all a bit more spread out, right? So if you want to go to a good cinema, you'd go to Roppongi. If you want to go out for a drink, it's Shibuya.
Right.
If you want to spend loads of money at a really silly, overpriced restaurant, you go to Ebisu. So it's not quite as convenient. Like, Sendai was amazing. Like, I could go to the market or the cinema within, like, 15 minutes. Now I've got to, like, put some effort in. But it's just nice being near friends. Like, I haven't had that for years. Like, I had, like, no friends. Maybe two friends in Sendai, right?
No friends, Chris.
No friends. No friends, Chris. I think I did that deliberately. I'm not really sure why I did that. Maybe it's because I'm on the road so much that when I was in Sendai, it was kind of like my holiday time or work time where I could just unwind whatever. But, yeah, now everyone's around. I'm going to be drinking a lot more, eating a lot more, and it's all going to go downhill very fast. But yeah, Tokyo's cool, though. Tokyo's cool. Although I'm a bit worried there are noticeably more spiders because Tohoku, there isn't that many because it's a lot cooler. And Tokyo, it's a bit more bearable. Like, I didn't know. What are those really big spiders called that you get in Australia?
Oh, I don't know.
The really big ones in the house.
Is it like the snow crab, but spiders? Snow spiders.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my God. I talked about it all day yesterday and I've forgotten what they're called. Fuck, I have to look it up before I lose my mind. But you
have basically been beset by real spider issues this week once you got to your new home.
Well, there's lots of little jumping spiders everywhere, which I don't mind, because you just unleash the cat on those. The cats take care of the little spiders. But what I didn't know is that in Tokyo you can get huntsman spiders. Did you know that?
Well, I mean, I don't really know what a huntsman spider is. My dad used to work for huntsman dioxide in the northeast of England. That's my only connection to anything with the word huntsman in it.
Well, look it up now, because this kind of spider doesn't exist in the UK, so far as I know.
Right.
But it's like bigger than your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And a friend of mine had one in his apartment not too far.
I see.
Like in Tokyo, right? And fuck that. They're massive.
That is a
if
big.
If I see that, I'm going to cry.
And apparently they do invade en masse, so to speak. They do.
Brilliant.
Oh, my goodness, you can have a green huntsman spider. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Little bright green.
It's not adorable.
Big old. Oh, lovely.
Horrible. Horrible. Yeah. And I don't even think the cats could take it on. I think the spider would kill the cats. Mm. So I was like, yeah, we've got cats. It's worth it. Even though they keep me up all night and they're bloody annoying, at least they can kill the spiders. But now, if a huntsman turns up, it's 1-0 spiders.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do. But anyway, it's an irrational fear to have, perhaps, but an otherwise very smooth move to take here.
Yeah. Maybe you should have put all of your stuff on the backs of the spiders and they could have walked it. Instead of using that moving firm. Oi.
Oh, God. But it's cool. So when you come down to Japan next time, you can sleep.
Check out. Sleep underneath the spiders. Room. A blanket
sleep
of spiders.
But no, it's cool. It's. I don't really know how to feel. It feels a little bit like a holiday. And you know when you just move and it feels a bit surreal at first?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is good, but it's time to go home now.
I'll go back to my
house,
and
I keep thinking, oh, I've got to get on the bullet train and head off 2 hours north to Sendai. But no, this is it.
What's like the one thing, what's the best thing about your new home compared to your last one? Apart from the location, there has to be something facilities-wise that you wanted in a new flat that you didn't have in your last one.
A usable kitchen. The kitchen's
wow.
Actually got like a bit of space, like a meter of space you could put things on and cook and prepare. Ooh. Which is something I've just not had in Japan, right? Remember, like, you probably take this for granted with your nice swanky British kitchen where we have like some bountiful preparation space. But like here in Japan, like if you look at any apartment I've ever lived in, there's just never been a bit of space in the kitchen where you can like put things on the counter. It just doesn't exist. So that's one thing. It's a lot bigger as well. It's bigger than the Sendai one.
Right.
Because I was fed up of living in a fucking shoebox for the last 10 years. So it's nice because obviously Charlotte and I can split the cost and whatnot. But yeah, bigger kitchen space. Just ordered a nice big television, which is good. Haven't had a big TV in ages.
Ah.
It's weird. Like, it feels like I finally live in somewhere more befitting of a 33-year-old because I've lived in a shoebox for the last like 10 years. And I don't mind that. Like in Japan, I was talking to Sean about this. Like, in many ways, you kind of get used to the small space, and like it's kind of cozy and cool.
Mm.
But there comes a point where if you're in your apartment for extended periods of time, you do want like a little bit of room to move around, especially if you've got some cats. So yeah, it's exciting. Space, kitchen, and TVs. I don't know. I'm just happy
and
last.
Exhausted because you've just had a week long house move.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible. But anyway, exciting times ahead. We can finally do more videos in Tokyo. Let's turn to the story of the week. It's Steve Blackman. He says, dear charismatic Chris and Percival Pete, greetings from sunny Cyprus. After 2.5 weeks of staying in expensive business hotels, I decided to splash out for the last few days of my holiday and book myself into a very posh and very expensive ryokan, an onsen, in the wonderful town of Kinosaki, 2.5 hours from Kyoto. I must admit, I was nervous about getting naked in front of a group of strangers for the first time, perhaps inadvertently breaching some arcane rule that I was not aware of. As I entered the changing room, I picked up a wicker basket to store my clothes in and proceeded to strip off. I just got completely naked when, to my astonishment, a very elderly and distinguished-looking Japanese lady entered the changing room and started to disrobe. Oh my God. She must have had very poor eyesight, as I'm not easy to miss, being 6'5". I was shocked and stunned and didn't know what to do, terrified that I had made a dreadful mistake and was going to be branded as some kind of sex pest, booted out the hotel and arrested for indecent exposure. After possibly the longest 15 seconds of my life, the lady glanced in my direction, screamed, dropped her basket, gathered her clothes and exited the changing room at a speed I would not thought possible for a woman of her age. Convinced I'd made a terrible mistake, I hurriedly started to get dressed before the inevitable arrival of some very angry traditional inn staff and fellow guests. Instead, two Japanese gentlemen entered the changing room and started to undress. And I realised that it was the Japanese lady who had made the mistake, not me. Ah, ha, ha. 1-0 foreigners. After my room attendant informed me that the manager of the ryokan would like to have a quiet word with me. Oh, God, I thought, thinking that maybe I was in trouble after all. I went to the manager's office where she informed me that she had a letter of apology written in Japanese from the poor lady who I'd encountered earlier in the changing room. I told her it wasn't a problem, that we all make mistakes, and that I would like to meet the lady concerned to explain that an apology wasn't necessary. It was then that the manager informed me that the woman I'd been so inconsolable had checked out of the Oriel Khan a day early and rushed off home. Regards to you all, Steve Blackman, scaring the elderly of Japan. Well, there you go. I mean, I think I've gone in the wrong changing room once, and it is like a worst case scenario. I basically put my head in, realised I'd fucked up and dashed out the door, but like that.
Put your head in. Awkward.
But at least you didn't do anything
left.
Wrong. It's like, well, I didn't know, right, that some onsen, like with the, you have like the Nord end, like the curtain, right, that's red or blue. Mm. And I think red is guys, blue's women. I always get it wrong.
Right. So I mean, blue is generally men, and red or pink is generally women, as it goes. But I like that the woman just panicked and checked out of the entire ryokan. What had she seen, Steve? Steve, come on, let us know. what had she seen that had scared her so much? She checked out of her entire hotel, changing her plans by 24 hours. What have you got? What's going on there, mate?
Well, Pete was right. Even though I've lived here forever, I didn't know. I got it wrong. It's red curtains are for women, blue curtains for men. Yeah,
right.
Don't make that mistake.
Don't make
that obviously
mistake.
They've got a character on. They've got a big character for men and women, so that's the one time it's worth learning the characters in kanji, really.
Yeah.
But well done. Well done, Stephen. I don't know why I'm congratulating you. I haven't done anything that good. But I'm just relieved that for the first time that it was one of our listeners didn't put a foot wrong.
Yes.
Or throw their clothes off in the wrong place.
It was the old lady's fault.
Absolutely. Yay. An old woman who couldn't see made a mistake. Yeah. We've got a story this week about a very bizarre robbery, and Pete Donaldson's going to fill us in.
I am.
I don't even know what it's about. It's very bizarre. What is it, Pete?
Well, are you familiar, Chris, with the very idea of a sea cucumber?
No. It just sounds disgusting.
It's the sort of animal you hear about quite a lot because they've got an amusing name and amusing appearance. But fundamentally, I mean, does anybody know what they're really about? I think they're a relation to starfish and stuff like that. And they just bob around, eating grit, pooping out grit, just existing. They're just guys who just live in the ocean, and they are delicious, turns out.
What are they getting for?
Hmm?
Oh, they're food.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's food. I mean, it shouldn't be, really, fundamentally, on a humanitarian level, or non-humanitarian level, rather. But police in Japan have arrested several people for allegedly poaching a huge haul of sea cucumbers, an unsightly but expensive delicacy that has attracted the attention of the country's crime syndicates. Five men were arrested recently for stealing more than 600 kilograms of the marine creatures in seas off of Fukuoka, in what local media are calling one of the largest sea cucumber poaching incidents since the echinoderms, which sounds like a derm that would live around a train station, achieved coveted status among criminals several years ago. They're really not hard to catch. They fetch high prices overseas. People in Hong Kong and China love them. They're called black diamonds on the black market. And basically, Japan recently tightened laws on stealing these little fellas out of the sea. And they, you could face up to 3 years in prison or a maximum fine of £181,000. But these penalties have not stopped criminals, fishermen, Yakuza gangs seeking that delicious black gold, black diamond, sea cucumber.
Black diamond.
Yeah. And, these two suspects allegedly used diving apparatus to secure 364 kilograms of sea cucumbers in January. Just sort of, like, jumped in the sea, got their sea cucumbers, and hightailed out of there. But in Japan, Sea cucumbers are eaten, but they're eaten as like a pickled side dish. But poached creatures often end up in China, where they're used in medicines and stuff. And because of rising living standards on mainland China, demand has been fueled. And some of the best sea, you know, the Japanese are like, they make the best fruit, the best meat. And so the best, most coveted sea cucumbers come from Japan. But it's basically, it's just a lot of poaching happening on the black market by the Yakuza members and proper fishermen who are allowed to, who have licenses to purchase sea cucumbers or take them out of the sea, rather, to sell the sea cucumbers. They're in a situation where there's just not enough sea cucumbers in the sea because the Yakuza have stolen all the sea cucumbers, which is a hell of a name for a film, I think. The Yakuza have stolen all the sea cucumbers.
It's not exactly Christopher Nolan or Michael Mann, is it?
No,
it's not. Heist of sea cucumbers.
Michael
Sea
Cucumber.
We've got to get into the sea.
Just diving down into the sea to get these really unpleasant looking.
But I just like that, how like a lot of like Yakuza action, like we talk, it's not like drug dealing, it's not the usual stuff,
well,
where you know, they do just piss about and do like lottery scams. and sea cucumbers. They're just always looking for an angle, and I really like that about them.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
He loves his organised crime, as Pete Dawson. To win favour with Pete, you've got to commit an inordinately weird crime. But, like, yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? You just don't think about it. And I would never have thought this was a thing. Just I kind of want to watch this play out, just this idea of, like, Yakuza divers just going into the sea at night and fishing them out. What the bloody hell? But, like, what a fine. £180,000. For stealing some sea cucumbers. Like, this is really serious stuff.
Yeah, but like, they didn't just steal a couple of sea cucumbers. They stole so much sea cucumbers. So many.
All the sea cucumbers. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I to this day, I don't think I've ever eaten a sea cucumber, and I don't intend to. Mm. But there you go. What do you even add to that? Bloody sea cucumbers. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions. He wants to seek. Oh, no, yeah, I know what I want. I'm going to go and seek one out today in the markets of Tokyo. We'll be back in just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Sonny. Hey there, Sonny. Aloha, Iced, Kohi, Chris and Pocky Pete. Is 53 too old to be an alt, A-L-T, in your travels? I was wondering if you ever saw any older alts in Japan. Sonny, that's something, as a man of advancing years myself, I think about. You know, like if it all goes to shit here, maybe I could just become an alt. I'd be in a part of my life where I'd be less likely to go out and get pissed and let everyone down. So I think I'd make a great alt, to be quite frank.
I don't know about that.
Professor Donaldson.
You do meet like folks in their 40s that come over and teach, not on the JET program. I think they have a cutoff point of like 35 on JET. They like it when younger folks come because they think like Japanese students can relate to, you know, younger people. So I think that's why they do that. But like, yeah, there's loads of other schools and language places around Japan where you get a job. I worked at like a Ikawa conversation class for every Monday night that volunteered, and they were all like over 40, 50, 60, and I think any age would have been fine. So yeah, it does exist, but just not on the JET program. So it probably won't get paid as much. But you should do it. You should come over for a term, Pete, and teach the masses. Teach the masses the Hartlepool accent.
The Hartlepool,
YI man and all the other also Sonny referred to me as Iced Coffee Chris. I do have an iced coffee in my hand. I recently discovered the technique to make cold brew coffee, or rather Sharla did and did it for me.
You've got like, but it's in it. Delicious. You never sort of see iced coffee in a cup. Your cup is, it's just a cup rather than a glass. If you're gonna have iced coffee, you need it in a glass, not a cup. Having this.
You do.
You do.
And I've got it in a cup. It's not quite as good, is it?
No.
It does taste
not.
Great, though. Good job with the ice. Cold brew coffee. Future. All these YouTubers, right, they sell out and make their own bloody coffee brand. All this crap. But none of them I've seen have made cold brew coffee. And I think they should. Probably doesn't make much sense, though, because you have to make it yourself in a fridge. And it's just easier to sell coffee beans in a bag, isn't it? So that's probably
yes,
why.
It is, yeah.
I'll get on it. Need to find ways to grow the merch store. We got one from Alvin from Perth, Western Australia. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. In March 2023, my friends and I rented a car from our trip from Fukuoka to Beppu. When we were driving on the expressway, the speed limit on the posted signs was displayed as 70 kilometres per hour, but almost every car was doing 110 kilometres and overtook us. My question is, what are the damn rules when it comes to expressways in Japan? Are they like autobahns or just a free-for-all? Cheers, Alvin from Perth. It's really frustrating. The truth is, the speed limit is variable. I think the top speed limit in Japan is like 120 kilometers per hour. Don't quote me on that, because it might not be. But like, yeah, they tend to, you can drive like 110, whatever, but there's signs just at 70 kilometers per hour, just sort of saying, like, go slower, just because there's lots of cars on the highway. So that's the boring answer, to be honest. I just copy what the other cars are doing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Whatever anyone else is doing. That's the secret.
That's the secret. Sure. Don't drive too fast.
I'm
not sure we should be giving this sort of level of advice, lest you and the stack organisation get hit with massive amounts of writs that everyone's got speeding tickets on our back. And I would say that, Chris, that I've been in a car when you have been caught speeding. And you had
that
to go and pay a dirty old fine.
It was you were like, go faster. And I was like, no, Pete, think of the speed limit.
Yeah.
And so it's Pete's fault. Apparently the statutory speed limit is 100 kilometres per hour.
Right.
But the highest speed limit is 120 kilometres on some sections of the Tohoku Expressway.
Yeah.
So there you go, it's 100 kilometres. But you can go up to 120 on some sections. And some people go faster than that. In the same way that the speed limit in the UK is 70 miles per hour, but most people drive 80 on the highway.
What's 120 kilometres and miles per hour? That is...
it's not
74.
That far.
It's not too bad. Yeah, it's only just over our one, isn't it?
Yeah. But for the most part, though, because the statutory speed limit is 100 kilometres per hour, which is 62 miles per hour, you do often feel like you're going pretty slow most of the time. Compared to the UK, where it's like 70 miles per hour.
Everywhere,
it's a bit rubbish, but please don't treat the highways like an autobahn. That won't end well at all. We've got one here from Grant. Grant from Texas. Hello, Chris and Pete. Grant from Texas. My question is, was there ever a time after starting to learn Japanese that you had an aha moment and realised that you were really grasping the language? All the best, guys. Grant from Texas. I think my aha moment was after a year when I met Natsuki and I was sitting in a yakitori chicken restaurant, and I realised, like, it's one of those things where, like, you don't realise you're doing it at first, and you're just sitting there speaking away, a bit like riding a bicycle without training wheels. Like, you're off on your way, and then you look down and you're like, holy shit, the training wheels are off. It was a bit like that. I was talking to Natsuki, who I'd only known a few days, and I remember just speaking Japanese for like a few hours, and then on the way home I was just like, wait a minute, I just communicated in a different language for the first time properly for an extended period of time because the other guy chose to not speak English. So yeah, no, it took about a year to get to that point, to be honest. What about you, Pete? How long did it take you? When was your aha moment?
Yeah, I've never had an aha moment. I mainly just stumble around. Nobody knows what I'm saying. My heavy accent doesn't really work when I speak in English anyway. It's just a lot of ego. Awa karimasu, please, thank you. I have no idea what's being said.
Can you speak any other languages other than English?
No,
and what we call
never things? Had a go at any of the absolute shite.
It is pretty thrilling. I went to the post office today and I sent some things and I spoke in Japanese.
Oh.
It was thrilling. After 11 years, and it's really awkward because they're like, oh, Nihon nagai desu ka? Like, have you lived in Japan a long time? And I'm like, oh, 10 years. And so if I don't speak Japanese like very well after I've said that, I feel like a dickhead.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, when I met Ken Watanabe, he asked me how long I'd lived in Japanese, in Japan. And by that point, it had been like 10 years or so. It had been 9 years.
Mm.
And I lied. And I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years just to set the bar low. But then my friend was like, no, 9 years. And I was like, you bastard. And then it was really awkward. I went to dinner with Ken and his crew and his friends. And
Ken
some
and crew.
Guy came over and was like, oh, Nihon Nagai, have you been in Japan a long time? And I was like, oh, 4 or 5 years. And fucking Ken Watanabe from across the room went, he's been here 9 years. And I was like, you bastard, setting me up, leaking my secrets. And I had to like put the effort in. It's sad, really. When I first lived here for like 3-4 years, those early years, because my Japanese, it went from zero to like all right in quite a short space of time. I'd be like, oh, I've been here 2-3 years. And they were like, wow, your accent, or you know the words, you're great. Well done. But then as my Japanese got worse and I progressed in my time in Japan, it became quite the opposite, and now it's just a constant source of embarrassment, and one that I would do well to rectify by actually spending a fucking month or two studying it again.
But I mean, presumably, I mean, I've walked into a bar or somewhere and got several Nihongo Jozus very, very easily indeed, and that gets said whether you use the word biru or not, and sometimes even if you don't even speak any Japanese, they just say it anyway.
Yeah, you could literally walk into a bar and be like, konnichiwa, Pete Donaldson desu, and they'd be like, Nihongo Jozu, like, they would just be nice, right?
Yeah.
But when you're actually good, they either don't say anything, or they, like, if they hear someone like Dogen, you know Dogen?
Yes.
His amazing pitch accent. Great YouTube channel if you want to learn Japanese, Dogen. I remember when I showed it to Natsuki, when I showed
whoa. Whoa.
Sea cucumber. Where am I going with this? When I showed like Natsuki a Dogen video, he like nearly fell out of his chair because it was just like, wow, amazing. It can't be done. Pitch accent that good.
Yeah.
So there you go. Learn some Japanese. But I do want to spend some time some point this year sitting in a room studying it, because it's all buried in my head somewhere, all the words, all the grammar, all the vocabulary.
Yeah.
And I just need to fish it out and remind myself about it all. Weird to think I know like 5,000 words, or it might even be 10,000 words, but it's just buried away there, like the back of an old shed. I need to open the door, crack the door open, and get it all out. We'll be back later in the week, guys. For now, send your stories, comments and questions to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Have yourself a great few days. Later this week, the trailer for Journey Across Japan, Frozen Frontier, finally drops. We'll have more on that in the next episode. But have a great few days, guys. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. I'm off to sort out the new apartment and unbox lots of stuff. I'll see you later.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.